إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، it's always a pleasure to welcome all of you in our classes. We're going to continue reading about this very important topic, عناية الإسلام بشأن الأسرة, the importance given by Islam to the family, or the importance of the family in Islam. Our beloved Sheikh Al-Walid, Dr. Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, and this is part number 3. This is the third part. In the previous classes, part 1, part 2 of this topic, the Sheikh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala highlighted the importance of the family in any given society or community, because societies are nothing but families coming together. And if those families are strong, upright, then the societies be likewise strong and upright. But if the family is broken into pieces, that will reflect in a bad way on the society. Likewise, the Shaykh mentioned that the family is formed by a man and a woman when they marry. They get married, so they form a family. So they are the main components of a family, the husband and the wife. And always the building, they are the foundation. And the foundation in any building, in any structure, is the most important one. That's why Islam has given importance to choosing and guide us. Islam guide us to how to make the right choice. It's not just a man meet a woman and get married. No. That the man has to find the right woman, that she's going to build, a builder. She's going to build with him a family. Likewise, the woman, with the help of those who represent her, the wali or the wakil, she got to find the right man. And the right man, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, is the one who upright upon his deen, religion, and has good manners. That's a good man. People, they look at the good man from different angles. He has more money, 3 businesses, this and that. The last thing they ask about is the religion. Yeah, I see him on Jummah. That's it. Now he's qualified now because he make it for Jummah. Allahu Akbar. Now, as the religion has to be sound and the good manners, shouldn't be cheating, or he's not a liar, doesn't backbite. He has good manners, gentleness, ease, tolerance, forgiveness, and the like. And the woman is married for many reasons, but if a person is looking for the right woman that she's going to help him to build a family, he has to look at the one that she's righteous, upright upon the religion. Anything else is just extra. And a happy couple, a man and a woman, which are husband and wife, they can produce many good things for themselves, for their family, and for the community and society. A success marriage is a success not only for the family, but for the whole community. A successful marriage is a success to the community. Because when the husband and the wife, they're happy and joyful, and mashallah, that's what you need. If they're stable, they'll bring stability in the community. But if they're not, it reflects on the society where they live in. Likewise, the Sheikh highlighted the importance of children, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow children upon that husband and wife. They become now father and mother. So we learn also that those parents, they have a responsibility upon themselves now. It's the education and the upbringing of those children, boys and girls. Make sure that they grow up righteous, upon righteousness. And from that, we mentioned that they should be commended with the salat when they reach a certain age. That the parents have to be just as related to the children and the like. And we're going to learn later on, and it's going to be as a preview, if you want to say, to the next topic we're going to deal with, is Al-Baytul Muslim, the Muslim house, and how a Muslim house should be upon the Quran and the Sunnah. That's going to be a topic to itself, but we're going to, the Sheikh is going to talk about it briefly, but inshallah ta'ala we're going to deal with it as a topic itself once we finish inshallah ta'ala this one. So we continue tonight. قال الشيخ فالله سبحانه وتعالى يأمر الوالدين بالإحسان إلى الأولاد في حالة صغرهم وعزهم ويأمر الأولاد بالإحسان إلى الوالدين عند كبرهم وعزهم. الله سبحانه وتعالى command the parents to be good, nice, kind, take good care of their children when they are very young. They cannot take care of themselves. They need to be fed. They need to be clothed. They need a place to stay and live. And they need guidance. They need someone to teach them many things. And that's the job of the parents in the first place. Likewise, Allah commands the children themselves, when they grow up, they become teenagers and the like, young adults, to be kind to their parents. Because usually at that time, the parents are getting older. Especially when the parents become very old, they reach an old age by which they be unable to take care of themselves. So now the responsibility falls on those children, their sons and daughters, to take care. That's their turn now. And just mentioning this, the children, and I just remember what happened in Connecticut yesterday. The terrible, subhanAllah, may Allah have mercy on those parents. Parents of those children. What can a sick person do such thing like that? Alhamdulillah for Islam. Allah have mercy on those families and make it easy for them. It's not easy. La ilaha illallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command the parents to be kind and to do their job, to assume the responsibility to take good care of the of their young ones. And also Allah command the children to take good care of their parents, especially when their parents reach an old age in which they will be unable to take care of themselves. وفي هذا تكافل وتعاون بين أفراد الأسرة على ما هو أهم من ذلك وأنفع في العاجل والآجل وهو التعاون على البر والتقوى. The Sheikh says, if they do this, there is the solidarity to show both, in both parts. And because it is joint responsibility. It is a joint responsibility for both parts. The parents are responsible to take good care of the children when they are young. And those children, now it become binding upon them to be kind and dutiful to their parents and to take care, good care of them if those parents reach an old age in which they could not take care of themselves. And this shows the one of the many aspects of the beauty of this Islam, because inside the families, the members of each family to work together, to help one another, to achieve that which is beneficial for them, that will bring them benefits in this life and in the next one. Islam calls us to cooperate and to help and assist one another upon birr, all types of good, and upon piety, righteousness. فَنَتَآمَرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَتَنَاهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. نعم, as a family members, we command good and forbid evil. As a family members, we should always remember that each one of us, whether it be the father, the mother, the boys, or the girls, regardless your age, you have a role to play in that family. If you're small, you have a small role. You grow up, that role grow up with you. Some people, they think just because he's 18, that's it, he's free from responsibility, don't care about the family. And that's wrong. How could a person think that way or take that path? How are we going to give up on the family that have care about you for all 18 years? But this is in societies that they don't have Islam. Or those Muslims' families who don't know what Islam is. They're just Muslims by affiliation. But the true Muslims who practice this beautiful religion of Islam, they know that the oldest you get as a son or as a daughter, the greater your responsibility becomes as related to your parents, as related to your family members. And that family stays together. It's not like they're together just when they need each other. When they remind on the television, now they want to get together over dinner, and then that's it, everybody go his way. No, the Muslim family sticks together. And their hearts are together. They care about one another. And even if they move out for whatever reason, they stay together. They stay connected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Tahrim, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. O you who believe, protect yourselves and your families, not just yourself. Protect yourselves and your families from a fire. That is, its fuel is man and stone. قَالَ الشَّيْخ صَالِحَ حَفِظَهُ اللَّهِ فَأَمَرَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أن يقوا أنفسهم ويقوم لهم عليهم ولاية من أهليهم من النار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the believers, has commanded the believers to protect themselves and anyone who they are responsible of. Anyone that live under their care and responsibility, they try their best to protect them from the fire. وهذه النار لا ينجي منها إلا فعل الطاعات وترك المحرمات والتعاون على البر والتقوى. Then the Sheikh says, this fire of hell, أعاذني الله وإياكم منها, may Allah protect us all from it. He says, nothing save from it except acting upon obedience and staying away from prohibitions and cooperating and assisting one another upon khair, upon birr, upon good, upon taqwa. The ulama, they mentioned that when these birr al-taqwa, they are mentioned together, then birr, it means righteous actions, and taqwa, stay away from the haram. When they mention together birr and taqwa, then birr refers to all acts of obedience, fulfilling the commands. And taqwa refers to all acts of disobedience, meaning to stay away from the haram. But when each one of them is mentioned by itself, includes the other. So if birr is mentioned by itself, it means to act upon obedience and to stay away from disobedience. To do righteous actions and to stay away from haram. Likewise, if taqwa is mentioned by itself, it includes both. To do as you commanded and to stay away from the thing that you were prohibited. قال الشيخ يجب على الإنسان أن يحرص على نجاة نفسه ولا يكتفي بهذا بل يجب عليه أن يحرص على نجاة غيره من أقاربه وإخوانه. He says a person try to save themselves. This is normal, natural. This is a human. Whenever you're faced with a danger, you try to run away from it. If there is a fire in a house, if there is a fire in any place, what do people do? They run. Why they're running? To save themselves. But does a person run and keep his children in a room? No. Person, if he smells smoke, see a fire anywhere, the first thing comes to their mind is their family members. That's for someone who cares about his family. He will run room to room. Try to get him out to safety first, even if he may get corrupt and get harmed. But in Yawm al-Qiyamah, it's not going to work like this. It's not like when a person sees his family member going to the hellfire and he's going to try to get him out. No, it happens here in this dunya. As Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentioned, he explained to us how a person protects his family from the fire. قَالَ عَلِّمُوهُمْ وَأَدِّبُوهُمْ. By teaching them Islam. And also teaching them the good manners of Islam. That's how you're going to protect your families from the hellfire. So a person is not enough that he try to save himself from the fire, but is incumbent upon that person as well to follow any means possible within his means or her means to try to save and protect his family members, his brothers, his family members. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Taha, Ayah 132, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Order your family to perform the prayer. And all of you are supposed to be patient. You persevere and be patient in performing the prayer. قال الشيخ وهذا فيه أن قيم الأسرة محمل مسؤولية أسرته بالأمر بأداء الصلاة وغيرها من الواجبات. The Sheikh says, we take from this noble ayah that قيم الأسرة, the one who's in charge of the family, usually is the man, the husband, the father. Unless if the family, if the father died or something like that. But now, that person, the father, he is responsible as related to his family. So he should command them with salat. Command them to pray. And command them with other obligations, not just the salat. Command them with the salat, command them with good manners, good akhlaq, with the remembrance of Allah, istighfar, tawbah. Command them with the sidq, truthfulness, to always speak the truth. Command them to stay away from the haram. وترك المعاصي والمحرمات. Likewise, it is his responsibility to command each and every member of his family to leave off sins and forbidden acts. Command them to pray, to fast, to be generous, to be kind, to be nice. Command them with truthfulness and forbade them from lying. Command them with generosity and warn them against stinginess. Warn them against stealing and make it clear to them stealing is haram, drinking alcohol is haram, smoking is haram, listening to music is haram, causing harms or damage to people's property, honor is haram, being undutiful to your parents is haram, disrespecting the elders or other people is haram. No. And teach them the good manners of Islam. وهذا يتضمن اتخاذ وسائل الخير في البيوت من التعليم والتأديب والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. The Sheikh says this leads us to this very important point, which is that the person, especially the father and the mother, they should take the necessary means of good to apply in their homes, such as teaching, not just nurturing and make sure, because some of the parents are like, okay, I work so hard, two jobs, three jobs, the rent is paid, the food is abundance, the bills are paid, they got the best clothing. Okay, so what about the conditions of their hearts? What about, are they remembering Allah? Are they praying? Do they know their Lord the way they're supposed to? Do they know the Prophet? Do they know Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Do they know the Deen of Allah? Okay, they eat good. They live in a nice place. They have good clothing. They have good vacations. Nice car they ride in to school. What about, are there any other programs? Some parents, they go to extreme and spend a lot of money on, I don't know, on sports. They have five children. Subhanallah, the budget is tremendous. Yeah. Those five children, one is doing baseball, one doing karate, one doing I don't know what, swimming lessons, one doing this, one, and every one of them has his own PC, his own iPhone, his own this and own that. La ilaha illallah. Lot of money. But then, okay. Do they have any other programs? What is the Arabic program? Are they in an Arabic program? Are they in a Quran tahfidh program? Are they in an Aqidah program? La ilaha illallah. So now it says, it's a great responsibility that the parents, especially the father, has to follow the means of good in the house by teaching everyone in the household. Don't neglect anyone. Teaching them the deen, the creed of a salaf. Teaching them the good manners of Islam. Commanding good in the house. La, because those children, they grow up upon them. They grow up being commanded to do good and being admonished and corrected when they do bad. Alhamdulillah, 10 years. A child when he's 3 or 4 years old, and when he be 13 or she be 14, they know what to do. Because they grow up, that's their life. It's like a tree. A little tree, if it start growing crooked to the left, what do? You adjust it. That's what usually people do. They adjust it to the right. If it start leaning to the right, they adjust it back to the left. But if they just put it there and neglect it, that's it. It grows crooked. Now they want to straighten it. What happened? It'll break. Likewise, some parents, they neglect their children's education, not food. No. These are, alhamdulillah, they eat good. They live in a nice place. Everyone has his own bedroom, maybe, Allahu A'lam. and all of these vacations. But then that shajara, the shajara of Iman, the tree of faith, is neglected. The tree of aqidah is neglected. Nothing. Until when the kid is 13, 14, start acting up, giving hard time to the parents, now they want to do something about it, it may be too late sometimes. Sometimes it be too late. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, and many children, they disrespect their parents because those parents had neglected their education when they were young. They neglect them, they didn't give them no education. That's why now those children, they disrespect their parents. فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. You didn't give them anything, so how are they going to give you back? You didn't give them no good when they were little, so how now they're going to start acting righteous when they teenagers? May Allah have mercy on Abu Ways, rahimahullah, our brother, Hafid, rahimahullah. He used to always say this, say, every container gives what it contains. Every container gives what it contains. Now, if you have a container of milk, are you going to pour some honey out of it? That's impossible. Well, you got a container of honey, are you going to pour olive oil of it? What about a container that is empty? What are you going to pour out of it? What if a container that is filled with filth? Huh? Impurities. See, it's serious. Now the parents have a great responsibility. Karam, invest. Ya'am, alhamdulillah, you invest a lot of money as related to them. They have a nice place, they drive a nice house, they eat good food, they dress, mashallah. Some parents go to extreme actually in this. Wallahi, to extreme. Some parents, they think that every winter, every child has to get two jackets. They got to, because the people are going to say, oh, you have only one jacket, and the kids make fun of him. And even they have jacket from last year, two jackets from the last year, and two from the other one, that's four, and two from the other one, that's six. There's still nothing wrong with them. No, they don't want them. They give them to the Salvation Army. Wallahi, as one of the persons say, مَصَائِبُ قَوْمٍ عِنْدَ قَوْمٍ فَوَائِدُ. The calamities of certain people is a good thing for others. In here in America, they say some people's trash is some other's fortune, right?
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Okay, that's what they say. They say one man's trash is another's man what?
Treasure.
I don't know about that one. Show me some trash, man. Inshallah. Now, Allah, ya akhwan. You find some parents, they go to extreme. Just the budget they spend on every child a month, over $1,000. And they have the money. But then they neglect the most important, the condition of the heart. Now, if somebody have the money, want to spend, alhamdulillah, nice place, good food, good clothing, Allahumma barik. Say, may Allah increase you in that. But you got to be balanced. Well, actually, the side of the education and the aqidah and iman, that takes what? Precedence. That's priority. Barakallahu fiqh. قال فإبعاد وسائل الشر عن البيوت كذلك. The Sheikh says, now your house has to be, and this is the, I told you, is a preview, because we're going to deal with that later on, inshallah ta'ala, on another class. But he says, look, likewise, the Muslim house has to be a place, like a madrasa, has to be like a school, a duksi, like the Somalis say, right? Has to be a duksi, man, has to be a school. Madrasa in Arabic, لغة العربية, madrasa. Naam, school is madrasa. But because what is the role of a school? Who can define to me the role of a school? We have a school, alhamdulillah, we have a teacher here, principal. Naam, what is the role of the school?
To provide education for
children. Okay, that's good, to provide education for the children. How this education is provided?
Through qualified teachers.
But how? How the children get it?
Classes.
By attending the school. Whenever they want it?
No.
Schedule.
It is a schedule. Does schedule have 30 minutes a week?
Curriculum.
How much it has what? 7 hours a day, right? 6 to 7 hours a day. Well, guess what? That's now we're talking about the time factor, the curriculum, and the teachers. These are the components. Time, curriculum, and the teachers. Likewise in our homes. We have all this. Do our children spend time in the backyard 7-6 hours? No, they spend more of that in the house. Do they spend that alone, or there is parents with them? Parents. Those are the teachers. Now, where is the curriculum? That's a good question. Where is the curriculum, Yahwan? Do we have one in our homes? Do we have a curriculum? Or are we going to consider a curriculum? Go to your room. I don't want to see you. That's the curriculum? In a school, do you really want to keep your child in a school when the school, as soon as he get there, the teacher said, go anywhere, I don't want to see you. Huh? So why you do it to your child, those who are doing it? Or you send your child to the school to get what? Because our brother, Hafidhullah, who does his field, he says to get education. Now you send your school to that, or your child to that school, and then the teacher say, anybody here has his own PlayStation, right? Your phones? Okay, get them out. All right, go ahead. Play your games, all right? Whatever games, I can't tell you no names, I don't know. All right? Because if I give you a name of a game, you gotta say, this man talking about 70s, like Atari game, you know, that's all I know. From the 80s. Anyway, no one's gonna think about a school or about a teacher like that. Children, they're supposed to learn math, right? Science, language, art. Arabic, now we're talking about a Muslim school. Arabic, Aqidah, Tawheed, Seerah, Hadith, manners. But that teacher, okay, instead to get your Carver math, get this, get your science book, get Kitab al-Tawheed, Talatat al-Usul, get Sirat al-Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mukhtasar Sirat al-Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, get the book of Fura Hadith, what that teacher is saying, get your iPads, talking to 7 years old, get your iPad, get your iPhones, get your PlayStations out. And then say, okay, everybody play a game. Now, what do you think about that school? It's not a school. Well, some houses are like that. They like that. The parents, they have no responsibility, man. They're not responsible. No curriculum. Nothing. Go on the computer, do whatever you want to do. Go play. Go outside. That's it. And that's not good. But now there is some parents, yes, mashallah, they may not have the ability to teach. But let them find somebody to teach. The same way they cannot teach math, physics, and this, that, and they take them to school. Likewise, you cannot teach Arabic, Quran, Tawheed, Aqidah, Seerah. Say, I'm going to find another school for my children. I'm going to find a teacher for my children. I'm going to cut down of those vacations. I'm going to cut down of clothing. They have enough. I'm going to cut down of too many spendings. In matter of fact, I'm paying too much rent here. $1,400 a month, I'm going to find something only for $900. And that difference, I'm going to hire somebody to teach my children Quran and Arabic. See? This is how you do it. It's not always how you got to be doing it. No, find the means. Just have balance in your budget. But keep in your budget the education of your children. You gotta invest towards their education as a community too. It's sad you will find a community but no schools. for the children. Why? Because Allahu A'lam, if people are waiting for the administration to do, who the administration, who are they? They're just some people who have more responsibility than us as related to running the masjid. Why they always have to be the one that initiate everything? Why can't members of the community get together and put the seed themselves and then discuss with the imam of the masjid, say, look, ya akhi, I don't know, it may not happen next year, it may not happen next 5 years, but look, let us put a plan. Let us put a plan to have a school for our children. Because many of us, we cannot teach our children. Whether those parents, they didn't learn themselves, they don't know Arabic, they don't know Quran, or some of them who learn, but they still has to go to work, man. They still have to pay food, to pay for rent and the bills. So they don't have, even though they learn, but they don't have the time to spend enough time. See, we're talking, we go back to the school. It's not like spending 10 minutes a week and do you think that the children are going to get it. No, the children are going to spend hours a day learning Arabic, Quran, Hadith, Aqidah. That's what's going to make the difference. And this is how, as a community, this is how we should talk, or think actually. And this is supposed to be, you know, one of the subjects that is on our minds. What can I do to contribute? Things don't happen from nowhere, man. You know, this masjid we're sitting in, why, you've been donated by some prince? No, it's your money and mine and this brother, this sister, this family. Alhamdulillah. Those who is a plumber amongst us, and the mechanic, and the electrician, and the teacher, and the truck driver, and the businessman who has small little business struggling himself. Everybody's struggling, but still, even those who didn't have no job, and who knows, certain people, they don't have money, but they don't want to ask others. Invite others. This is how things get done, by putting the efforts. And having good intention. And even if we may die and don't see school, who knows? But as long as they have the good intention. They mentioned that long time ago, one of the kings was passing in a convoy, and he saw this old man, old, very old, planting a little tree. And that little tree, it is known in that area, when it's planted, does not give fruits until like 20, 25 years later. So the king was amazed, and he stopped and he says, old man. He says, yes. He says, you planting this tree? He says, yes. He says, you know how long it takes this tree for to give fruit? He says, yes, I know. He says, and you're expecting that you may stay alive until you? He says, I don't think so. I don't think so, man. I don't think so. But, so why are you doing it? He says, look, those before us, they planted trees and we ate their fruits. So let us plant something for those who will come after us. غَرَسُوا فَأَكَلْنَا وَنَغْرِسْ فَيَأْكُلُونَ Arabic is beautiful. غَرَسُوا فَأَكَلْنَا They planted this tree that me and you will enjoy their fruits. Who? Some people, long time ago. So let us do something for those generations to come. Likewise, Ikhwan. We got to do something for the generations yet to come. Insha'Allah ta'ala. So the Shaykh says, likewise now the house has to be good upon righteousness and ta'lim, which is education, teaching. Likewise. إبعاد وسائل الشر عن البيوت. Likewise, you have to clean your homes from all evil and the means of evil. من الملاهي وكل المظاهر السيئة. Anything that gonna jeopardize the education of the children. Anything that gonna interfere in your responsibility and make your job harder, you're gonna let it go. You're gonna let it go. When you want to run, what do you do? How you run? With jackets and everything? Don't you see those runners in a marathon, man? What they run with what? They run with the Timberlands? Huh? And a big heavy jacket? man, they take everything. You see, they light. They want to run anything that nobody run with a pack on his back, with his book pack, right? Book pack.
Backpack.
Book pack is not good. Is it? No, my question. Book pack is good or bad? It's a good thing. All right, man, give me credit, brother. All right, what is the right one? Because I'm willing to learn. What is the right one?
Backpack.
Or book bag. A book bag is a backpack. That's the same thing.
He said book
bag. Yeah. No.
He said book bag.
Book pack.
Oh, book
pack back. All right, man. You keep an eye on me, all right? If I say something in English that is not right, inshallah, correct me, barakallahu fikum. So it's a book back.
Back, yes.
Or a pack back.
Back.
Backpack. All right. MashaAllah. We didn't have these things back when we were like, man. That's it, in your hand, man, nothing. You nothing up here like this under the arm. That's how it used to be. You know, even here in America, man. People ask of you. Jamal ask.
There's a big difference between a book bag and a backpack.
Nah.
Two different purposes.
What is it, Chef?
Backpack is for those who's hiking.
Ah.
Pencils in his back. Like
no.
In the military, they have the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
A book bag is for books.
So the backpack actually has a specific.
No.
All right. There you go. See? Two different. There you go. You got two different opinions now. Marraja. Allahu Akbar. Tayyib. Huh?
The purpose of saying is carrying.
Ahsant. I like simple things. That's it. Simple things. The purpose is the same, to carry things. Whatever you carry, right? Allah Akbar. That's what it was. But are we carrying these responsibilities now? Allah Akbar. So the Sheikh says, likewise, you have to make sure that your homes are free from any things. All types of evil. Why? لأن البيت هي ما البيوت هي محل اجتماع الأسرة وتلاقي أفرادها. Because the house is the place when the family get together. They live there, man, they get together. When we say get together, it doesn't mean like they come in. No, they live there. Those who go to work, when they come back in the end of the day, they come to the house. Those who go to school, where they come back after school? To the house. Those who went for a walk with a backpack, what do they do? I got that right? Huh? All right. Those who go to hiking for with a backpack, all right, they tired now, or maybe the park is about to close, no more fishing. So what do they do now? They go back where? To Walmart? Home. So everybody go home. So here goes, subhanAllah. The father is working hard. Now he's coming home. He's very tired and exhausted, coming home. Those children, you don't know what they went through in their school. They coming back where? Home. And the mother, who she spent already 8 hours in the home, why was she going back to what? She's still in the home. That's why the home has to be what? Comfortable. For the one who stay there and spend a lot of time, and for those who experience hardship, whatever out there, they have to come to more hardship? Make no sense. To come to more hardship? To more chaos? To more anxiety and distress? No, they will come to serenity, tranquility, peace, joy. SubhanAllah. So that's the home, Yahwan. It has to be like that. فلا بد أن تكون بيوتا إسلامية مؤسسة على البر والتقوى وخالية مما يتنافى مع الإسلام وأدابه. Our homes, and this is just a preview, by the way. We're going to get into the heavy stuff later on, inshallah, in details. Now, these homes, the Muslim homes, has to be Subhanallah, an Islamic establishment. This is how you look at it. Don't just look, oh man, we're paying the rent, alhamdulillah. No, this establishment is an institution. It's not just a place, three bedrooms, you sleep, we eat, and we get up, and we use the bathroom, we take a shower, go. No, it's an establishment. You know what's establishment? It's something very serious. Yes. It's investment, man. You're investing, not just your money. You're investing your money and many other things. But that's why they have to be established upon birr, upon good, what's pleasing to Allah. We do not allow anything to our homes but that which is pleasing to Allah. And our home, they have to be free from anything that is associated with disobedience to Allah. Anything that go against the manners and the morals of Islam. We're supposed to protect our children from the fire. Naam, not bringing the fire in the homes. Bringing it, or bringing the means that may lead to the fire. Now we're supposed to leave that stuff out and never bring it with us. قال واعلموا أن إهمال تعاليم الإسلام في شأن الأسرة يسبب تشتتها وضياعها في الدنيا والآخرة. Says now keep in mind that when those who are responsible, and this mainly the father and the mother play a role as well, when they neglect the teachings of Islam and don't apply the teachings of Islam in their homes, that leads to destruction and the ruin of that family. And it brings bad consequences in this life and in the next one on the members of that family. فإنها ما فسدت الدراري إلا بسبب إهمال الوالدين وسوء تربيتهم لأولادهم. Now the Sheikh giving some examples. He says those youth who are corrupt and deviant, they usually because they've been neglected by their parents. When they were young, the parents has neglected their education. ولا حصل العقوق من الأولاد لآبائهم إلا بسبب أن هؤلاء الآباء قد سبق أن عقوا أبناءهم أو آباءهم من قبل. Likewise, he says when you find that some of the children are undutiful and they disrespect their parents, this is the عقوق in Arabic, that's because those parents has disrespected their parents before when they were young. وَإِنَّمَا الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. So they are rewarded the same way, the same thing they did for their parents. Now here is their children, they do it for them. We're going to continue by bringing you a story that we learn from Shaykh Falah Ismail حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى after the Adhan, inshaAllah ta'ala. Inam. We'll mention a story that the Shaykh Falah Ismail حَفِظَهُ تَعَالَى has mentioned when he visits us here in the States. Last visit, last winter, as related to that if a person does something to his parents, it's most likely that his children will do it to him. And he mentioned a story, I'm not going to get graphic, because we have small children listening, and I hope you will understand when I just mention something, okay? So, this man grow old and he has money, so his son cannot wait until his father died the normal death so that he can inherit. So he said, father, let's we're going to go for a walk, me and you're going to spend some time. Took him to this desert away from people by this rock, and he said, you know what, father, you got to go, that's it, you got to go, you're old man, that's it, man. If you live, ain't no benefit for you to keep stay alive. So the father started crying. He said, are you afraid, scared or something? He says, no, I'm not afraid. He said, what happened? He said, I remember I've done the same thing to my father years ago. in the same place. So you got to take good care of your children. The Sheikh says some of the children, they disrespect their parents because of this. He mentioned some of reasons. It's because one of the reasons is that those parents, they had disrespected their parents before too. When they were young, they disrespected their parents. So now when they have children, and they reach an age when they were hoping that those children will help them and assist them, no, the children neglect them and disrespect them because of what they have done with their parents when they were young. فَإِنَّ الْجِنْسَ الْجَزَاءَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. He says the people are rewarded according to their actions. Likewise, قَالَ وَقَدْ يَكُونُ الْعُقُوقُ بِسَبَبِ حَيْفِ الْأَبِ مَعَ بَعْدِ الْأَوْلَادِ بِتَخْصِيصِهِ دُونَ إِخْوَانِهِ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْمَالِ وَالْعَطْفِ. He says, likewise, some children, they disrespect their parents because that parent, himself or herself, they bias. They just take care of one child or two and neglect the rest. So those who are being neglected, they care less, which is wrong. Even if your parents are like that, but still, you're commanded by Allah to respect them and to be dutiful to them. But the Shaykh just mentioned this is one of the examples and one of the reasons how certain children, they disrespect and they are undutiful to their parents. قال وما حصلت قطيعة الأرحام بين الأقارب إلا بسبب التشاحن والتنافس على أمور الدنيا. Once again, the Shaykh, he connects this to the dunya. Look at the dunya, ikhwan. He says, whenever you look at fights, chaos, disputes amongst family members, parents, brothers, sisters, in-laws, whatever, it's because of the dunya. Yes, they may have conflicts over many things, but the most known and renowned one having conflicts and disputes because of the dunya. Money, people dispute one another because of a property. No. They, brothers and sisters, until somebody come and say, hey, you see that piece of land? Actually, your father just gave it to your brother. He never bought it. That's it. They're not brothers and sisters anymore. I know. A business. Like you say, you find somebody have a business, whether a restaurant or a grocery store or whatever it is, or any shop, and he hired his brothers, and they like happy because he gave nice money. And until somebody say, see that shop? Does not belong to your brother. Used to be your father's. So why your brother has to have it and you work for him? It's all yours. Now they fight. Dunya. And they shouldn't fight. If they have a dispute, they should settle it in the right way. They sit down and bring the proofs and the bayina. And even if they are wronged in this life, alhamdulillah, they will never be wronged in the hereafter, unless if they wrong themselves. By them trying to follow their desires instead of following what Allah has legislated. قال الشيخ جملة مفيدة جدا. قال وبالجملة فإنهما حصل الخلل في بناء الأسر اليوم إلا بسبب الخلل في الدين. Now he said, in general, after bringing some of the reasons how some families are destroyed and this and that and the corruption, he says, in general, whenever you find a family that is corrupted and deviant, it's because their corruption in the deen. The family is corrupted because they have their religion is corrupt. They don't know what's the deen. They don't practice it. They don't practice the deen of Allah. Because that's what guarantees happiness, joy, serenity, stability, tranquility in this life, and yet the greater joy and happiness in the hereafter. قال الشيخ انظروا إلى المجتمعات الكافرة كيف يعيشون عيشة البهائم لا روابط تجمعهم كما قال الله تعالى في سورة محمد والذين كفروا يتمتعون ويأكلون كما تأكل الأنعام والنار مثوى لهم. The Shaykh says, look at the societies in the disbelieving countries. Look how they live their life, like cattle, even worse. There's no family ties between them, nothing. They don't care. He gets 16, that's it. He has his own plan. Care less about his father or mother or brothers or sisters. Everybody's in own. Even you find them sometimes they live in the same house and everybody his own program. His own life in the same house. So much so that they have the same fridge in the same house, but the fridge, they have those, what they call them? Inside of the fridge. The shelves. Huh?
I was returning the greetings to
them. Okay. The shelves. Everybody has his own shelf. The top shelf is for the mother. The bottom shelf for the father, and between is right there for the children. And everybody has his own things on the shelf, and nobody is allowed to eat. The father opened his shelf, it's empty, but he can't. No dinner. Because that's not what's in the fridge is not his. I know, how can that? Family, but they have to, everybody have to pay rent, and if you don't pay, I don't know. Like roommates. It's not like a family. They roommates. Hakada. Just like that. لا يعطف قويهم على ضعيفهم. You find them because they don't have Islam. They don't have this beautiful religion of Islam. You find the strong amongst them show no pity and no rahmah, no mercy to the weak amongst them. ولا يوقر صغيرهم كبيرهم ولو كان أباه أمة. The youth, those young amongst them, they have no respect whatsoever to the elderly amongst them, even if it's his father or mother. The way they talk to their parents and curse them out and insult their parents, أعوذ بالله. 16 years old, the way he talked to his mother, إلا من رحم الله. And in Islam, command us, not a choice, command us, they don't say, uff. لا تقل لهما أف. Do not say أف. If your mother is talking to you and if you disagree, you gotta be patient. You can even say أف. أف. You don't roll your eyes to your mother. You don't suck your teeth in front of your mother. No, this is not from Islam. Don't do that. Be patient. If you want to be a good Muslim and Allah be pleased with you. قال وإذا هرم الشخص منهم وعجز عن المشي ودع في دور العجز إلى أن يموت ميتة الحيوان الحسير. Says, and if those parents or one of them or the grandparents, they reach an old age, they cannot take care of themselves, usually what they do? Those children, they go to Google and Yahoo search to find what? Huh? Old folks home for their parents. Now when the parents need them, no, I got my life. Now he got his own life. No. Parents, I'm going to find you home with the people like you. See, subhanAllah. And neglect them in there. But Islam teach us to be dutiful to our parents. Don't get rid of them. Because they didn't get rid of you when you were little. They took care of you. So now you don't want to get rid of them when they needed you. Subhanallah. قال وقد يكون هذا المسكين له أولاد يملؤون الفجاج. So this person who now he's stranded in some home place or whatever, the old folks home, they have another
retirement
home.
Nursing home. Hey, nursing home. Now he says, you may find that person now is in a nursing home, he has many children. Some of them are doctors and this and businessmen. But they don't want that. But in Islam, alhamdulillah, person is poor, man. He don't have money, no, nothing. He sells water in the streets. But he's, no, my father stay with me. My mother going to live with me. I'm going to send her to no strangers. No, this is my mother. She's living with me. Allahu Akbar. She eat what I eat. She eat first. I know, this is Islam. لكن لما ضيعوا دين الله أضعهم الله. The Sheikh says, but since these people they have neglected the religion of Allah, so Allah caused them to be neglected as well. That's it. نسوا الله فنسيهم. They forgot about Allah's religion. They forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah forgot about them. They were forgotten as well. So the Shaykh says, اتقوا الله عباد الله في أنفسكم وفي أسرتكم واعتبروا بغيركم. So you have to have taqwa of Allah, O you servant of Allah, as you relate to yourself, by saving yourself and your family members. And learn and take lessons from those, from other families. If you see a family going through some hardship, try to find out why. When you know why, avoid it. Man, you're driving, and they say, the police says, make U-turn. Why? Well, the bridge is out, and two cars fell down. So I gotta try it. Yeah, try what? Now you make U-turn. Likewise, you see somebody going through some hardship, you see a parent, you still have young children, your children, they're not teenagers yet, but you know in the same community you live in, the same neighborhood, you see some parents, beautiful brothers and sisters, but their teenager, they give them a lot of hard time. So you will ask them why. That father may say, yeah, subhanAllah, akhi, Allah, alhamdulillah, Allah guide me to Salafiyah now. But before, akhi, we were just like, man, we didn't know anything, ya akhi. You know, we didn't give nothing to these children when they need it the most. That's why they're acting up like that. So now what happened? You still have those children. There's only 4, 5, 3, 6. What are you going to do? You're going to learn, take a lesson, make dua for that parent. Alhamdulillah. Yes, some families, they're going through hardship with their teenagers because the way that their lifestyle was before. MashaAllah, they took shahada, but they have nothing. There's nobody around to teach them what to do. They're just Muslims, but they keep their own style. Lifestyle. But alhamdulillah, after years, Allah guide them to Salafiyya, to the Sunnah. But those children are already, Allah al-Musta'an, they're already grown up now. Remember the example of the tree? It's like a disease. Some diseases, fatal diseases, when they are detected in an early stage, mashallah, bi-idhnillah, by Allah's leave, those doctors, they can do something about it, right or wrong. But sometimes if it's the disease is there, but the people, they don't know. That person is, I don't know, coughing, whatever. And they like, oh, take time, no, it's okay. Everybody gets sick. Everybody's coughing. Oh, I got this. Nah, it's so normal. Nah, years never went to the doctor. When they take him to the doctor, the doctor says, man, where have you been? How long this man been like this? Oh, well, man, not a long, 17 years. They're like, man, I got nothing to tell you. Likewise. So we learn. If you have young children, invest with them. Because if you're not talking to your children, well, somebody else is. Alright? If we're not spending time with our children, well, somebody else will find time for them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and protect our children. And make us the best parents to our children. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid us and assist us and help us. So we can be a good example for our children. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.